in the corner of the table. Like the thing.
Sí.
The glass?
Campus electric.
Glass container?
Yeah. Glass.
Yeah.
At some point it gets glass, yeah. Okay, we'll be holding.
I can't see race. Now you say this. I see.
Ah, we've got to finish the last stick. Yeah. Wow, it's hot in here. The difficulty I'm having is these are wonderful ideas. The question is, how do you internalize them? So you just have to keep yelling them and yelling them. If anyone finds a shortcut way of internalizing ideas, let me know, please. Okay. There's no point in knowing this stuff if you don't get it into your kishka somehow. Okay. Especially this subject. So this subject you keep encountering. I saw an article, amazing article. The question was like this. My daughter was grappling with this the other day, actually. When a Jew dies, Rahman, we get upset, yeah? A soldier gets killed in Lebanon, the whole Jewish people goes nuts. Yeah? People go to funerals, they don't even know who the person was, they stand there and they cry. It's like, this is one of the beauties of the Jewish people. It's like one of the, you know, it's not a nice thing to say, but wars somehow have the advantage of like bringing the Jews together at least a little bit, you know. And now we go back to all our fights and differences. When there's a war going on, everyone kind of gets involved. But at a funeral, there's no unity like at a funeral, Jewish funeral. And yet, what are we so upset about? You came to this world to be here forever. Everyone came to this world to do what they had to do. He died as Kiddush Hashem. He's in Shemaim. He's with Hashem. He's with the patriarchs. The person dies as Kiddush Hashem. Any Jew that dies because he's Jewish, stating, defending the state of Jew, whatever, he's in Shemaim. He's with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Why are we crying? What are we crying about? What do you mean suffering? If you believe in an afterlife, if you believe in Olam Haba, you understand, you believe what the Torah says about a person that dies as Kiddush Hashem. So what's the problem? What are we mourning?
Are they dying on
Kiddush Hashem? Any Jew that dies because he's Jewish, he was beaten up by some skinhead, God forbid, or whatever, because he was Jewish. He dies as Kiddush Hashem. Straight.
Are they killing us
because
we're Jewish, or
are
they killing us because they want the land?
They're killing us because we're Jewish. They don't want the land. We gave them the land, and they're still killing us. How much land do we have for Rahman al-Islam? If we own, we're in America, you know, I could understand. But I mean, what do we? It's got a little bit of beach. I mean, how big? How it's about the land?
No.
They were killing us before we had the land.
Hitler
killed us for the land?
No, not to mention that. We're talking about the Arabs.
What difference does it make? They're killing us because we're Jewish. They want the land?
My family lived in Temen for 1,000 years and no problem.
And what happened suddenly? They started killing them suddenly.
Yeah, because they started in the Arab Israel.
Yeah, that's what Avigdor Miller said. It's us, is it? He's dying because he's been killed because he's a Yid. He got blown up in a bus. He had kavana, anything. He didn't have kavana. He was on his way to buy tomatoes, and the bus blew up. Rahman al-Islam. Kavana? Where do you have time for kavana?
Boy,
he's not doing mitzvah. There is a mitzvah. That's a different darga. But yeah, what about kavana? He was out there with a machine gun defending the borders or whatever, and he got shot.
But no choice. Never wanted to fight for the army. You got schlepped into the army.
Die as a Jew. You die. You get killed as a Jew. You go straight to Shemaim. Now, what the Shemaim looks like or whatever, I don't know. A guy who was Omel and Isaac in Torah for 50 years and gets killed, and a guy who was...
that's the answer to your question.
He could have a different quality of Olam
Haba. That's the answer to your question.
Yeah, but he got straight to Shemaim. No Gehenna, no nothing, no suffering. Nothing, it says he's in the chutz of the Avos.
Yeah, but he could have been inside. That's why they're crying. That's why they're crying at the funeral, because he could have been inside. He still had less potential. He did go straight to the top. No.
So I want to, and not exactly that, Nakuda. What we're crying for is the loss of potential.
Exactly.
The Vilna Goyen who was lying on his bed. The Vilna Goyen who was lying on his bed. This is an article somewhere I saw. I don't know, was it in an Aish thing or whatever? The Vilna Goyen who was lying in his bed, on his deathbed, crying, and his Talmidim said, "What are you crying about?" He said, "Because for 5 rubles or whatever it is, I'm outside and I can buy this." And in the Ramadan, no matter how high you are, you can't make choices anymore. You stop being human. There's no Bechiri. You can't grow. You can't work on yourself. You can't change. That's what we're crying for. That loss of potential. That. But Christian, he does. Good news. He's in heaven. Wonderful. Yet, I find it's wonderful he's up there. What are we mourning? We mourn with lack of potential. Why? Because we're down here. And that's what we appreciate. From his perspective, there's nothing to mourn anymore. He's not mourning. But we don't see that perspective. We have to look at it from a human perspective. The human perspective would be down yet a grapple. And he can't do that. He can't do that anymore. That's what we cry for. And also, we also cry for our own pain. We're mourning our own loss. We're mourning the fact that we don't have this person. We don't have what he gave us. We don't have the light. We don't have his input, his friendship, his closeness, his etc., etc., etc. We're going to miss the person. We're mourning for ourselves a bit.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it. Most of the mornings, if you don't believe in that next world, then you only believe in this world.
No, that's them. No, we're talking about that. We're talking about them. So we know about them. I'm talking about them. I've added them. Yeah, we know why they're crying because they don't know nothing. We're talking about us. Yeah.
Is there a bracha that a person makes for dying? Like, you know, is there a bracha? Is there a bracha?
Do we make a bracha?
Makadeshim
chabarabim. Can you make a bracha? Some of these are bracha, I think so. Can you make a shechiyanu? Could Rabbi Akiva, who has reached the highest level of simcha, he'd ever reached like a Sheikh Yad? For Rabbi Akiva, it was. He was the happier as he was. That's what the Talmidim asked him. At Khan, so much did you have to do it for simcha? We just learned it yesterday. Kashanch Mavochin ala Bris Miller, Kach Mavochin ala Kfula. That's what we just learned yesterday.
Because he didn't say, you think that he could. But he would have said it. He could.
No, I'm just saying, well, I didn't answer. Right. So you see, you don't make it at a time. Even though it's a simple to give it off, but still, it's a missa, man. You don't make it. Mm-hmm. That's a cuckoo kind of question.
You know. No, but if you're about Yaakov, you wouldn't say, you say you don't make it. Like
no, but the Mishnah says, and that's what we're busy with now. That's what we started. Was Keshem Shem Rochen Ala Toiv Kein Rochen Ala Ra. In the same way that you made the brocha of Shechianu when you brought your son to the Bris Miller. Yeah, so too the person has to make a Baruch Dynamis at the Kfura. So he made a Shechianu there. So no, because the question's answered by the other question is if it's Kashem Shem Avolchim, so you made a Tova Meiti when the child was born. Yeah, and now the person's going to make a Baruch Dynamis when he buries the child. Why don't you make a Tova Meiti when you bury the child as well? Yeah, you have the question? In the same way that you made the Brocha on the good, so you have to make the bracha on the bad. So what bracha do you make when the child's born? A tov ha-meitiv. So then make the same bracha when you bury him. A tov ha-meitiv. It's a tov tov. You have to do it with the same level of simcha. You require it's a mitzvah, I say, to do it with the same level of simcha. A yid has to go to the funeral with the same level of simcha he went to the Bris Milah.
That's why the Gemara changes.
So the Gemara, no, so the Mefushim asked this. So they said no, because to us there's still a perception of bad, even though we're doing it with the same level of simcha.
But Rav, you can't, the same level of simcha must be a different simcha still. It must still be like, it can't be a simcha of Bris Milah now, it's totally a different thing. You have to raise that simcha for someone passing on in a different area. It's much harder than...
I'm not saying it's not harder, but we learned yesterday that's...
But what kind of simcha is that?
Oh, so let's see. That's what we want to do today, is find out how you do that. Finding out how you do that will indicate to us... First, we have to understand what is suffering, what is the nature of suffering, why do we have to suffer, and then we'll understand what kind of simcha we're dealing with. But that's an incredibly brilliant point you've just made. The Keshem Shem Avolchim, the simcha, is going to be a different quantity of simcha. No question. We said it in the Ishkadah, we didn't say in the Shechianu. We said the father who had the chasana at the Mayriv of his son, only son's chasana, after waiting 25 years to have a child, marries off the best bocha to the best girl, da 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 da. The Kaddish he says at the chasana is a very, it should look like a very different Kaddish to the Kaddish he makes the next morning when he goes and buries their child, who died in a car crash on the way home from the chasana. Yeah, we saw the movie yesterday. I mean, we read the book yesterday, on the day before yesterday, on that very sad story that happened, yeah? You're right, it's going to be the same level of simcha, but the quality of that yiskadal is a different yiskadal. You're relating to Hashem in a different, the kiss you had from Hashem yesterday at the chasen is a different kiss you're getting today. The same way as Simcha's Torah is an incredible gilu and simcha with a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Tisha B'Av is also an incredible gilu of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's a brighter gilu of a Kodesh Baruch Hu than Simcha's Torah, but it's a different kind of simcha. It's a mamait b'simcha. It's a different type of the quality of the simcha, of the relationship is different. When a father gives a child a kiss, he loves the child, that's why he's giving him a kiss, because that's what's best for the child. When the father gives the child a patch, you know, so it's the same love that gave a patch that gave a kiss, and the child knows that. We're saying well, the child really respects it and knows it, but he relates to the kiss and the patch differently, even though he accepts them both with love and affection, because he knows that the father is doing what's best for him. But that's brilliant, very good, excellent.
Could you just answer the simcha's not the motion? Simcha is an intellectual awareness that you're doing what you're meant to be doing.
Well, that's one facet of the definition of simcha. There's more to it than that. Yeah, simcha is a bechira, it's a choice in achinami. That definition, the Tzatzis definition that he defines that you just gave me, is a it kind of takes it out of bechira a little bit.
Why?
Rav Nach's definition is you have a chiyuv to be besimcha, so choose to be besimcha. You don't wait till you're doing the right thing. You have to be besimcha to be besimcha. It's not a natural consequence of doing the right thing. That may be true as well. I'm not saying you don't have a natural consequence, but there's an aspect, there's another level of simcha which has nothing to do with doing the wrong thing or the right thing. I choose to be besimcha. You know why? Because I choose to be besimcha. Love as well. There's a lot of different ways of arriving at love. There's the chinuch's way, there's the Rambam's way, there's all many ways. But at the highest level, Hashem's there. Why does Hashem love us? Because, of course, He chooses to. It's a bechira. You can choose to love somebody even though they have no redeeming features, even though they have all the definitions of love that we use as tools and stepping stones to get to love and to take control of our love rather than waiting for the person outside of us to make us love them. But the ultimate of that is I choose to love. I choose. Why? Because. Because that's Bechira. Bechira is a choose cause.
That's a child. I'm doing this because...
That's Hashem. What? Let me ask you a question. Could Hashem create the world?
Yeah.
Could He not create the world?
Yeah.
Yeah. So He did it why? Why did He create the world?
Because He wants to give.
But He could have also not given. That's after the fact. Because He wanted to give is we look back after He created the world and we say He wanted to create the world because He wanted to give. Go back, well, we can't, but go back in your time before machine before He created the world.
So can he create or not create?
Like, so he has two equal options in front of him. And he chose this one over this one. Why? Because. We can't know why he chose this over that. So he was compelled. He was compelled. He was being drawn this way more than this one.
Therefore, he has to give.
That's nice, but I'm saying to you, can you tell me, say he has no choice now? He has to just give. He's like a Jewish mother, grandmother. She just has to go shopping to buy for her grandchild. She can't not. That's Hashem. My Hashem chooses. Everything Hashem does, He does it because He can. He can do anything. Which means He can also not give. So He could have chosen not to have created the world. Otherwise, you're saying
limiting him though to
you're limiting choice. Him. You're limiting him.
Why?
Now, Avada, when we speak about choice, we're using human terms and etc. We don't know what his choice looks like. Yeah, but at some point we have bechira, so we have to try and understand what bechira looks like. So we use Hashem, because bechira ultimately begins with Him. Just a simple question: could Hashem create the world? We see He did. Could He have not created the world? Of course. To say that He had to create the world means He was forced.
But they're not equal things.
I didn't say they were equal. I said He was forced. I mean, I did say they were equal, but okay, I'll explain that now. Means He was forced to create the world. He had no choice. He had to create the world. You're limiting Him, not me. You're saying He couldn't have not created the world. I'm saying He could do whatever He wants. So if He created the world, it must be because He chose, so to speak, He had a bechira to create the world. Why did He choose this one over this one? Cause. Because if you say it's because of something before that, well then go back to the first cause. It's a bit like who created the world? Hashem. So who made Hashem? Yeah? You've got to go back to first point. First point is that means there can be nothing before it. It means I do this cause. I put on tefillin, you know what? Is that a bechira? It might not even be a bechira. I put on tefillin because I chose yesterday, I made a bechira to keep all the mitzvahs. And I'm just acting out that bechira I'm putting on tefillin. Today there's no bechira to put on tefillin. This tefillin that I'm putting in now is really rooted in the bechira that I made yesterday. It could be that my choice to keep the Torah yesterday wasn't a bechira either. I chose to keep the Torah because I made a decision a long time ago that I wanted to do the right thing, and I discovered that the Torah is the right thing. So now I'm just doing the Torah because it's an outcropping of my decision 10 years ago to do the right thing. So you go back to the first point where you made any choices. The different definitions of Bechira, I don't want to get into the whole subject of Bechira, but when you talk about Hashem's Bechira, it's poshut. Hashem does something cause. It's not the same as the 6-year-old who does something cause. He just does it because he's brain dead. That's a dog. The dog eats food because that's what dogs do. No, I'm talking about Bechira, Hashem's level of Bechira. It's a creative moment. When Hashem chooses to do something, that is creation. That's Yosh Miayim.
But it's not cause, there's a reason. because of this.
So then the thing before is then the
there
point
isn't
of
anything before. That is, he always was, is, and always will be.
So therefore, his bechir, therefore his bechir is also not bound by anything before.
Okay, it's not bound, but the reason he still did it was because for a reason.
Only after the fact we can look and say that might have been the reason.
So
pre my sabrachis, we can't back up and say he gave it because it's the ultimate of good giving or whatever.
No,
it's nonsense
to
even talk about the ultimate act of. It's nonsense to even talk about Hashem by saying he's good.
But it's got nothing to do with giving. I was just putting potential into the action.
Even that is too much. You've already said too much. Because potential and action are things he created. Therefore, you can't talk about them pre-creation. That's why we can't talk about Hashem pre-creation. That's why we don't talk about Hashem pre-creation. That's why the Torah starts with a base, not an aleph. Because we can't reverse into the aleph. We start from the. Once you get the bear, now you have diversity in the world. But where there's no diversity in Hashem's world, we can't talk about that. That's why we don't. We don't know what we're talking about. So therefore, all you can say is, because. Define Hashem. Hashem is. Anything you're going to say now is going to be a limitation. He's good, he's all-knowing, he's all, even though the world, everything is limiting him.
Even this is a limitation.
Correct. So therefore, yeah, you're right. But we mean, is da 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 da, means there's nothing you can say. Every praise of Hashem is a sheker.
You can't say that he is not stubborn.
No, that's what Hashem is. He's right.
Even the
Shevach for Hodah, that because we have a hetter, so that's why we have a hetter. You're allowed to. The Dovid HaMelech to him and everything.
Anything other than that.
But even that, to a certain extent, is a limitation. How come we can do it? So you have a chiyuv to do it, whatever. But I'm just saying, you have to realize that. That's Loshon HaKodesh, because that's your mama saying the thing. When we say, Hashem, you're all good. Oh yeah, that's it. You just took Hashem and made him into a little, you're all. It's like a guy just donated $50 million to a certain institution. They have a big dinner for him, you know. And they get up and they say, we'd like to thank Mr. So-and-so for his reasonably nice generosity. You know, for his little display of, you know, altruism, you know. And the guy just sort of like, you know. Anyway, let's go back to suffering. I'm a little about this. Let's focus on some serious suffering. Yeah, come on, some facetious places. Come on. So we finished this. We did the last two paragraphs outside yesterday. So we ended off with the question: the man is Danunu Kol Umar Veloshen. How do you go about doing this? What is the secret? What is the foundation of all the burden that Klal Yisrael have suffered? And why are we different from all the other nations? Okay, so let's go have a look. Sod HaYisurim on Reish Yud Ches, Perek Aleph. Sod HaYisurim Vasevel Shalam Yisrael. The secret of all the suffering and burdens that Jewish people have gone through. Koyach HaAmide BeYisurim Yerushihi Lanu MiYitzhak Avinu. The ability to withstand suffering is an inheritance we got from our Zayda Yitzchok Avinu.
Why didn't he explain how to?
He's going to.
But
first, you have to define what it is.
About the side of tests. Why do now? Why not say how?
No, we asked a few questions, right?
Yeah.
That this mitzvah asay. Of being makabel yisurim ba'ava, and we gave a few extreme examples that really made the seem, you know, kashem shavochem, whatever. We put them down or whatever, and we asked, how are you supposed to do this?
Right.
So now he's going to start explaining. He's going to explain the secret of suffering that the Jewish people have suffered from. By understanding the secret of what suffering is, you'll then know how to go about dealing with it. First, you have to know what it is. Listen, if I want to know what is the secret of the diesel engine. So first you'd have to sit down and tell them what a diesel engine is.
So
what are you doing? Yeah, we're taking the sugi of Yisurim, and we're gonna open up the carburetor, and we're gonna put all the pieces on the table, and we're slowly put it back together again, and hopefully by doing that we'll understand what Yisurim is. We'll then know how to deal with it. Yeah. He's been doing that all the way. From day one, that's what he's been doing in the Sefer. Kifi shenichtav l'il. Shleishus ha'avos Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, and that's amazing. I just started writing something for the newsletter. They just Sandra just blackmailed me into writing for the newsletter. So I was talking about this sugya, about the relationships, the three relationships that define Judaism. Not to v'hashrishay benoy, kol echad lefi bechinoser. Each one planted and hashrishay gave root, gave I don't know what the word is, rootified or whatever, to their children. Kol echad lefi bechinoser koiches miyuchadim. Each one planted and inherited and gave over unique qualities. Each one of the others said his own unique qualities. Avram is Chesed, Yitzhak was Gvura, Yaakov is Tiferes. We'll see. When we come to be Isaac, Besugis HaYisurim. If you think you're going to learn about Yisurim from this Sefer or from any Sefer, you're wasting your time. If you're going to learn Torah, then leave Yeshiva, because it's not a place to learn Torah. You go to university, Talmudic colleges to learn Torah. Yeah, you come to be Isaac the Torah. Yeah, you come to make a business out of Torah. Yeah, you come to toil in Torah. Yeah, you come here to learn. You'll learn. That's a side benefit of being Isaac in Torah. You learn something. But learning Torah is an academic subject. We're not here for academics. We're here to toil. We're here to be Isaac. We're here to play with the Torah. But to learn Torah? Yeah. So, when we come in to be Isaac in the sugya of Yisurim, which is a sugya like any other sugya. Yeah? Bedikas Chometz is a sugya and Yisurim is a sugya. They're both creations of Hashem. You can welcome Ruvain. You're welcome to join us. We bring Isaac in the sugya of Yisurim. Come here to learn about suffering. You're welcome.
Pleasure.
Is there a chair for the man? Shkach, Jenny. I don't know how clean that is. He's gone to get a chair. He's gone to bring a chair. Don't take his chair. Okay. So when we come to be Isaac in the Sukkah of Yisurim, ain't Sofek, ki koyach ha'amidu b'Yisurim niten lana b'Yishum Yitzhak Avinu Aruch Shalom. If we received anything from Avram, if what we're defined by is what we received from Yitzhak and Yaakov, then when we come to understand the Sukkah of Yisurim, then we have to go and look at Yitzhak Avinu. Ha'Yisurim b'muhusam ha'im misirus nefesh. If you look at Yisurim, at the essence, what is the essence of Yisurim? It's a thing called Mesirus Nefesh. I'm not going to translate that as sacrifice. I don't know what that is. Mesirus Nefesh. I'm not translating it yet. Shariyam ma'li katola kulu ma'li katola palgan. It's a Gemara in Makkos, no? Ma'li katola kulu ma'li katola palgan. What's the difference between killing somebody and giving them lashes? No, is it going in Makkos? Targum mali harigas kulu mali harigas miktsosoi. What's the difference between killing somebody totally or killing him a little bit? You don't kill someone a little bit. Hold on a second. How can you kill somebody a little bit? Yeah. If he's dead, he's dead, man. Yeah. There's no big dead, a little dead. No, that's the Gemara in Makkos.
Baba Kama. I don't know. Maybe it appears as well. Okay.
No, it's in Baba Kama. Mali katala palga mali lorda. What's it talking about there?
Talking about killing of animals, nezek of animals.
Oh, nezek, that's what it's talking about. It's not talking about malchus. Yeah. That's something else. So you're off. Okay. Very good. Good, good, good. Mm. It's the first page of Baba Kama. Okay, good. No, you get called up for death. They hold you up. You're in the dock for killing somebody. You know? So you say to him, but I shouldn't be put to death. I only killed him a little bit. So what are you talking about? Hey, the guy, you killed him, you didn't kill him. You can hurt a guy a lot or a little bit, but to kill somebody, the definition of death is the neshama and the guf aren't in the same place anymore. You can't have that little bit of that. The truth is you can, actually. You can embarrass somebody is harigas miktsosoi, although the Torah says that's harigas kula. There are ways of killing a person, you know, slowly. Sleep, for example, Chazal says 1/60th of death. That's why the Yetzer tries to kill us. That's one of the ways the Yetzer tries to kill us.
And our sleep.
It's by making us sleep. I don't go into this now. It's too scary. Let's not talk about it. Yeah, the neshama doesn't want to sleep. Who wants to sleep is the goof. The goof's the thing that drags you off to bed and doesn't want to get out of bed in the morning. The neshama can't wait to go daven. And the goof just wants to stay in bed. So what is sleep? Sleep is a form of suicide.
But how do you use that in physical needs?
What do you mean? You have to sleep a little bit.
Right.
Fine. So you work out how much you have to sleep, and you sleep the minimum that the goof and the neshama need in order to stay together. You need to sleep a little bit. You need to eat a little bit. You need to do all sorts of physical things. Right. But to sleep 15 hours a day, that's suicide.
How do you objectively know how much you need to sleep?
Work it out. That's one of the 48 ways. It's one of the Kinyan HaTorah.
Maybe that's the Yetzer Hara making
time. You have to check it out. So push yourself. The worst thing that happens is you fall asleep. Check yourself out. You have to test it. Work out how much you're sleeping now. And then start limiting it. You know, minimizing it. 10 minutes a day. You don't go from 8 hours to 4. And then, like, you know, work out if it's the Yetzer Hara making you tired or not. It's like anything. You're sleeping 8 hours a day. So cut back to 7:50. Cut back to 7 and try a 10-minute catnap. It's a program. It's like anything. How do you train to run the Boston Marathon? So you work out a training program. How do you meet Shana, which is one of the... If you don't do it, you're not going to be Kohen HaTorah. It's one of the requirements of being Kohen HaTorah. You have to be Mir Shana. So work out, this is the thing you want to work on now. You've chosen this out of the other 48, or the other 47, or the other 49, depends how you count them. And decide, I'm going to make an ASIC out of this, and then learn the Sukkah V'yun and put into practice. It's an ASIC. It's a thing. Yeah, you can't be reckless. You have to work it out. You can play with it. It's a mamash geshmak avoid of your chain. And then just when you're getting it right, the baby stays up the whole night and throws the whole spin in the works. You know, because life, you know, Hashem's got his own plans as well. You've just worked out a nice program and everything's been beautiful, and you're surviving on 3 hours of sleep a day, and da 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 da, and then along comes changer, you know. So fine, back to the drawing board. You go back to bed. We aren't talking about teenagers now. So this is talking about people who are out of that state of needing 17 hours of sleep a day. That's different. Infants and teenagers need lots of sleep. There must be something there in their head. Okay. You know what I mean? When you're teenagers, they might sleep. You were so busy you had to sleep, mamish, because you die otherwise. You know, like, you're
tired from sleeping to go back to
15 hours of sleep a day, otherwise you'd be tzutz, you know. It's like, yeah, okay. What can I? That's Hashem. That's Hashem. I don't know. Listen, Hashem made the world. I didn't design it. I
will. One afternoon every day.
Okay, let's go back to suffering. So the Yetzer doesn't want us to suffer. Okay. Hayusurim misa b'miktsa same. What is yusurim? It's a minor death. It's a form of dying. Let's see what that means. Litima yusurim b'vuyim b'madragosa m'misa. Sometimes the yusurim are even a higher level than misa. V'chein v'vul gemorim m'sechtos k'shuvis t'avlam g'imol yom lo nigdavo im hayu malkin u'misarim l'chanania mishal v'azara havapolchu l'talma. With Hananiah, Mishael, and Azar, I think it's talking about when they threw them into the lion's den or whatever. Into the fire. Oh, they went into the furnace. Nachon, they put them in the furnace. That was Daniel that they threw into the thing. They wouldn't have been able to stand the Nisoyin. It's better to get thrown into a fire and get burned to death than to be beaten. Yesurim she'ein nim kitzba grim haim imisa. Suffering that has no end to it is worse than death. We know that when we have suffering, what's one of the hardest aspects of suffering? When's it going to end? Yeah. You know, the dentist is doing your tooth, he's doing a root canal, and he hasn't got painkiller, right? You can deal with that because like I told you, 10 minutes. Count 10 minutes. It's hell, but you know it's going to be over. But imagine if he said to you, listen, just hang there, I don't know how long this is going to take. You know, it may be days, it may be weeks, it may be... You can't stand it. You can't withstand it. Not knowing we're not going to get out of this mess, there's nothing worse than that. That's a terrible, terrible suffering. We're not saying, yeah, you never said that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's another aspect of suffering. That's what Rupinka spoke about, yeah. The suffering that's for no purpose. They tell the story of the Moshe, I don't know what this is brought down, about a man, he got sent to hard labor, 20 years hard labor. So what was the hard labor? They tied him to a wheel and as you walk around, and the wheel turned a wheel, and there was a gear, and it turned something, and it went through a wall, and he couldn't see what was on the other side of the wall. But for 20 years, he had to go around pulling this heavy, heavy thing or whatever. So after 20 years, they untie him from the machine, and they're letting him go. So he says, I want to see what's on the other side of the wall. I want to see what I was producing. And they take him out to the other side of the wall, and there's nothing there. There's just this thing going round and round. And he breaks down. He's finished. If I was suffering, at least let me produce something. But suffering that has no purpose is terrible. That's why at least the Yidu suffering knows this. That's one of the first things that you can make an asset kind of suffering, is if you know that there's a reason. That's this whole sugi we're going to be dealing with. But if you know it's not for a reason, man's search for meaning. If there's meaning to my suffering, I can go through the valley of the shadow of death. People went through Auschwitz happily. Who's the trip? Sip was telling about this woman that he knows in London, which is a house, which is, oh, where somebody said, how did you get through Auschwitz? Terrible. She said, what do you mean terrible? Do you know what opportunities for mitzvahs there were in Auschwitz? there's meaning. That's about it. But the sugya yari is we're talking about, if there's no kids, but if there's no end, gonna carry on and on and on and on and on. That there's nothing. Anyone who suffered knows that the killer is the first question is, when's it gonna end? How long is it gonna take? Want to ask something?
Yeah, it's half related.
Like chetzi din. We're dealing with chetzi din, so the whole sugya is about chetzi din. So it's chetzi related.
Half answer. If one is in a...
I don't get any answer to a chetzi din. One is in a... We're not talking about tests here. We're talking about suffering. We're talking about yisurim. We're not talking about nisurim.
Okay. So
they're connected and related. But let's first define yisurim. Then we'll define nisurim and we'll see where they connect. Yisurim is one of the nisurimness. But the other nisurimness, they're not yisurim. Huh?
Just to ask it on...
We'll get there. I haven't seen it yet. I'm a bit Ewan guy. Another guy's learning Ewan, and he's learning Baba Kama. He goes, Abba Abba, says Chavrusa, says, what do you mean? There's Shlesha. So the guy says, what are you talking about? He says, Abba Abba Snazik, and he says, I'm learning Ewan. Abba Abba, he says. I don't know what's coming next. Sorry. How about it? They connected. And he's saying, yeah, but.
So,
well,
one's a test and speaks to Hashem, and he's a
I want this over.
Yes, that I say to Hashem, I want to finish.
We don't every day. Don't bring me to suffering. Don't bring me to test. We don't want to be tested. We don't want suffering.
But when you get the test,
you rather daven for it to be taken away.
Yeah.
Because I'm scared. I might not fail. I might not pass.
But isn't staying take it all away from me?
Somebody's not, sick. Somebody's sick. You shouldn't daven for a first later.
No.
Hold on a second. Somebody's sick.
Right.
So he davens, please give me a first later. Yeah. Take the suffering away. Of course. It's not failing the test. Contrary. That's recognizing where the test comes from. I mean, this is the whole yisod. What you just asked is the brisk groves whole yisod in the Tachov. Knowing that the suffering comes from Hashem. Knowing that He designed the suffering from you, for you, and knowing that only He can take it away, and going to Him and begging Him to take it away. Yeah. The people that say, "No, God's good, you know, I've got suffering, no, everything's fine, Hashem knows all." Briscoe says he'll never get out of trouble. He's in deep trouble. Hashem designed this trouble for him. Hashem designed trouble for you. You must know it's big trouble. How do you get out of the trouble? Is by recognizing you're in big trouble, and asking Hashem to help you. So you recognize you're suffering, you recognize you're having a misery. I mean, the Gemara gives all sorts of things. It says when suffering comes upon a person, he should check his deeds, he should go learn his do tshuva. But we're trying to get rid of the suffering. We're not masochists. We're not
putting it on ourselves.
Be that as it may, but a Jew gets, we daven every day that we shouldn't have suffering. What it, where?
Even when you learn in Torah, you bring suffering to yourself.
Okay. It depends how you learn. It says, the Gemara says learning Torah is blackens the face. Pas pamela, sleep on the floor.
And then you daven for it to go away.
I'm
doing this, I know it comes with suffering, take them away.
That's what we're going to see. Yes, we understood. Good. We said there's certain things that you can only get through suffering, so we cherish the suffering. Okay, we're going to get there. Good. Okay. Oh, you've learned this before.
Never looked at
it. The Malach taught you this when your mother's womb, and now it's starting to filter through again. Okay, let's. All right, I'm going to stop. Leitim hayisurim gevura that we said that. Ein tavtoyim yisurim shayin lem kitz begruim hayim minisa. Hakerin nisoyna asiri shalav avinu. Can we just do this next shtick?
Yeah.
We're supposed to finish according to, but Rupsip is not going to come in here demanding attention, so it's Wednesday, so we push a little bit ahead.
Yeah.
I gave him yesterday, so I'm going to steal today. Okay, now I'm going to have to go, but let's try. Yitzchak Avinu Moshe is Nafshoi Lemisa B'Maisa Akira. Yitzchak Avinu gave up his life to die at the Maisa Akira. B'kach hu himchilanu. In doing this, he inherited to us Bona V'Chorov, his children after him. Es Hakoyach La'amoy B'Nesein V'Nleisa Es Nafshenu B'Simcha Akadusha Hashem. He injected into us the genetic material, whatever you want to call it, that enables us to give our lives up Kiddush Hashem with a smile on our face. Kedai shenatzliach lever es advarim heitev, in order that we should succeed in explaining these words properly. Aleinu la'amik es inyoinoi be'inyan ha'akedah. We need to delve deeply be'iun into the sugya of the Akedah ulegolot ba'umkhi shel isa maisa, and it's mamash erev Rosh Hashanah. It's a good time to do this because Rosh Hashanah we're pulling out the Akedah and the Shefa and we lay in the pasha of the Akedah, and we're relying on the Akedah to get us through Rosh Hashanah. Might as well, it's a timely time to learn about the Akedah. But even when was the last time you ever learned this? But even legolot ba'umkhi shel isa maisa is nekudas halimud, to find the point of limud shenitan lilmud isan. But Doreinu Anu, to try and understand our unique generation, what we can extract from that Maisa. Kesha Anu Mukafim B'Sevel V'Yisurim, when we are totally surrounded. Mukaf doesn't mean just, you know, you're on three sides. Mukaf means totally, totally immersed in terrible suffering, this generation. Techila, Alenu La'akdim Kama Milim. We need a brief introduction. Nisoyna Keda Haya Nisoyna Achron Shel Avraham Avinu. Let's not forget that the Akedah was the Nisoyin of Avraham Avinu, not Yitzchok. It was Avraham's 10th test. But Nisoyin Zeh Yogia L'Reim Dargosoi. He reached a Reimimus, the highest elevated Darga you can reach. Atchi Oimelo, Ata Yadati Ki Yare L'Kimato. You know what a high level it is? After the nine Nisoyinus, we still don't know that you're a Yare L'Kim. Now that you do the Akedah, it was only after he shechted the ram, by the way, that this is now I know. It wasn't enough to bring Avraham Avinu. Go look at the Parshas Akedah. It's a pella otsu. Meshes Chochma Osses Kasha. Go look at the order. It doesn't after he's ready to shecht Yitzchak and Hashem says, okay, don't. It doesn't say now I know. It's only after he shechts the ram, the Malach comes back a second time and says, now I know. Meshes Chochma Osses Kasha. Ain't sure.
Malbim also
has
the
Kasha
as well.
Huh?
Malbim also
has. I got it from there. Good, Bukhashe. Yeah, yeah. Now, if you're just learning Posh, it's some kind of Kasha the Malbim would learn, because he's Mamash Mataktak in the Lushan. If you just look at the Seder of, we say it every day in the morning. Just go through the Seder. The Malach comes along after the Kaden and says, you're a wonderful guy and everything. Then Avram turns around and finds the aisle and does the job on the aisle. And then the Malach comes back, Shainis, Mina Shemaya, and he says, oh, now we know that. What happened? He's very kidding son, that wasn't enough. Then he goes and does a little bit of you know, makes a bit of bultong. Now you're the big guy. I'm like, come up. And it's the ram that we bring on Rosh Hashanah. we don't bring the eif for Yitzchok. We don't bring the ashes of Yitzchok. In Slichas week we refer to the ashes of Yitzchok all the time. What ashes? The stomach kasha, we're all the ashes. Slichas, we're gonna start soon. You should start learning Slichas, by the way. Oh, while we're on the subject. Don't wait till Motzei Shabbos in 2 weeks' time to start preparing yourself for Slichas and to start looking at the Marzah for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Start now. Sorry, I always forget to say this. And they're like, Erev Rosh Hashanah, I'm telling guys, go about Marzahim. Start now. Please, don't wait. There's such a power, koyach in Slichas, and we're wasted just because we don't know what we're doing. You're going to get up early in the morning, you're going to get to bed late at night, you're going to be exhausted, might as well be for a reason. Get the art, start slicher, start looking at it, start going into it, start being my own. Don't wait till Motzei Shabbos of slichers to, you know, like people wait till the Seder night to start being my own and I got it. Shleishim yom lichnei achag. Start preparing for Rosh Hashanah. I know we're all working on changing ourselves and whatever, but there's practical stuff you have to do. Get the Magza sorted out, get Tzlicha sorted out, learn a little bit about what Shafer is. Sorry, that's a word from our sponsor.
Well, can you give us a little bit of a remedy?
What, Meshach Chochma?
No.
Look inside there. There's plenty of chatting. There's a lot of people different chatting. No, look inside there. Not now. I'll tell you. He didn't get there in one day. I'm sorry for all the 21st century next. They'd want to do it all in one day, you know, the instant gratification types. It doesn't take one day. You can't make a good whiskey in one day. It takes 12 years. God wants to change his midas in 3 weeks. He wants to know shas in a year. You can't make a good whiskey in 10 years, you know. But to make a good yid, you expect to do that in 5 years. No, serious. It's with sugar. Kodma ledagazu ledagazu avram vina lokaim yam. Kodma ledagazu. He got there through years and years of withstanding tests. Kasher Avram hikir es boireg, when Avram even finally recognized his creator, who hiki esa emes shebimetzius Hashem veesa sheker sheavoyis ha'elivin. He finally recognized the truth in the metzius of Hashem and the sheker of the Avodah Zorah. Mikan ba'elech hu ha'yamuchen limso es nafsho leman ois emes. From now on in, he was ready to give up his life for that MS. I'm the first line of the Mesilas Yesharim. But I'm now. Hu yotze chutzes neged oviv terach oivid alilim. He went out with a chutzes. What's the word? A breaking, a breaching, a chutzitza. Separated, an enormous separation from his father. But neged malcha nimrod, he went up against the mamash, the rule of the world. We're talking about we don't understand what it means. What the rule of the world looks like. He mamash went single handed against Nimrod, who was a big man. Nimrod was makiris boyer. Nimrod knew there was God in the world. Like Rav Tat said the other day, Nimrod wasn't some stupid tree worshipper. He knew there was a God, and said he went to war against him. Nimrod went to war against Hashem. Asher Zorak, it's not like Kapara. Para says, who's Hashem that I should recognize him? Para says, I don't know if there's any Hashem. Nimrod was much worse. Nimrod says, I know you, Hashem, I can't get you. That's the people in Israel today never call their children Nimrod.
It's
like calling your child Hitler. You know, they're going to be people, Rahman Islam, in 50, 60 years, Jews are going to call Rahman Islam, call the kids Hitler. And they're going to, I mean, you tell them that they can't understand what's wrong with it. There's a shoe company here. Everyone wears Nimrod shoes. Would you wear Hindi? Would you wear Hitler's shoes? No. Nimrod was much worse than Hitler. Hitler was a fairy godmother compared to Nimrod. Hello, playing how far the Yiddish people, how far we've come from reality. Okay. Asher Zorak Oisel Akif Shanai, she threw Avraham Avinu into the fire. Humoses Nafsho Bilvad Shelo Yichpoy B'Menoseh. He believed, he knew the truth so much that being alive, without that, it's not worth it. So you give up your life. All right, let's stop there. The next paragraph is quite long.